Marima Davidson, co-leader of the Greens, is with us today. And while she might have been asked to leave the big house, she's certainly welcome in our house each and every day. Marima, tēnā koe.
Morena, Dale. I'm very honoured to be welcome to the Wātea House.
Yeah, good on you, good on you. So, say there's a few things going on. So I note that you were asked to leave the house because you raised a point of order when an ACT MP asked why ethnicity was a factor on the surgical waiting list. And you suggested that question was intended to incite racism. It's an interesting thought, really, but if you give rednecks the opportunity to spout their bile, then you might be contributing in ways you don't want to. But I noticed that Rurafe said that it was a very serious accusation. What's come of it?
Sorry. It's really important, like, to stand against racism. We have to actively do that. The racism was being spouted in the House and setting people off against each other. Health inequities for Māori and Pacifica and other groups of people have been an injustice for decades and decades, Dale. We all know this. We should instead be working together to directly address those injustices. Māori, at every step of health systems, have been discriminated against time and time again, and that is wrong. What ACT are doing, the way that they are pitting groups of people against Māori, gets in the way of doing that work, of resolving a long problem that needs to be corrected. And so, yes, it was important. Rather than let that just go unanswered, rather than just let the tenor of those questions being asked, it was really important for me to be clear about exactly what the harm that those questions were doing.
It's interesting here. I mean, where does it become racist? I know that people want to get some traction here, but, I mean, we've been exposed to racism across the generations, and it's a bit rich now, isn't it, when people say, oh, you can't use ethnicity as a tool for elevating status on a priority waiting list for surgical interventions, as if ethnicity hasn't been used to keep us at bay over the years and prioritising Pākehā access to all manner of services. So it gets a bit rich in 2023 that we're getting this line coming at us, Marima. Obviously, you're not prepared to tolerate that.
Not at all. I was asked the question, okay, if there are inequities, though, why bring ethnicity into the resolution? And I've been very clear, it's because ethnicity was part of the systemic racism. That's why. So you have to acknowledge that. There are other factors of groups being missed out, and that is unacceptable, and we have to address all of those. And I really mihi to our rural whanaunga as well around the motu, who have been denied access to good healthcare. We also, Dale, have to address the broader underlying issues, for example, better support for Māori-led primary care and addressing the social drivers like incomes and poor housing, absolutely. But my goodness, do we need to understand that we have to look at equity, including across ethnicity. And you're absolutely right. Māori and Pacific people have been left out for a long, long time. And there has been a prioritisation over and above Māori and Pacific people for Pākehā, for other people. And so that's wrong. And this is why, Dale, I'm just not prepared to tolerate that line of questioning without calling it for what it is.
So what actually happened? Did you get the boot out of the debating chamber and come back in, or where did it end up?
I did. And I hope he doesn't mind me saying, but I spoke with the Speaker last night to make it clear that I'm not looking to be kicked out of the House. I'm actually looking to have the debate in the House, because this is where those issues are being raised. And, you know, the Speaker's rules, you know, those rulings are up to him. I'll leave that with him. But I am wanting to work with the Speaker to make sure that we raise the level and the quality of the debate in the House, and that we allow for the actual debate to be had. I pointed to the previous Speaker, Trevor Mallard. We actually raised this, Dale, back in 2021. We had this conversation in the House James and I wrote formally to Trevor then to ask for his ruling and guidance. He came back and gave it to us, and so that's what I was calling on yesterday, was actually Trevor said, actually, no, it's fair to allow MPs to express whether they think someone else's opinion is racist. So that's exactly what I was doing. And, you know, there are rules in the House. I don't wish to disobey them for the sake of disobeying them. I am trying to raise a debate and an issue of harmful politics in the House, and I intend to keep doing that.
And hey, it's a sort of corridor you can raise on this station anytime. Let us know and we'll open up the airways for you to have a corridor. Hey, listen, some Māori are thinking that James has turned his back on us. We've had a bit of faith in Mr. Shaw, your co-leader for the Greens, and as the Climate Change Commissioner, you know, expecting him to factor in issues Māori into his decision-making and political stance. Now we see this situation regarding the emissions trading scheme, which could cost iwi billions of dollars, and there's frustration out among our foresters that for the most part, the new regime was discussed in relative secrecy. What's the story here? Is James anti-Māori, as some are thinking?
Oh, Dale, of course not. but I like your clickbait question there. So James James has thoroughly been meeting with Māori. I think you and I spoke, just a couple of months ago or a few weeks ago, for example, about his trip to the north in Taitokiro. A few days of meeting with different groups, iwi, hapu, marae. That was fantastic. It was really successful. And what happened there was Māori, for example, actually wanted James to go even further in the protections for our environment, even further than what the government are proposing, and that was a massive outcome. But they mostly also were just really grateful for his direct engagement and him answering himself, him actually fronting up himself, making himself available, meeting with our people. So I'm really proud of him for that. Also want to acknowledge we have to understand the costs to our communities of climate change, not just in the profit of forestry. And, you know, you've just had the many places like the coast wanting to make a clear stand about the sorts of industry that particularly Māori communities need to be turning our direction to as a far more enduring way of supporting our people and our environment. And so many Māori are very clear about that. We need to take strong action in reducing climate pollution and making sure the way that we do our forestry includes our native planting. Of course, it's better for our soils, our waters, and the way that the forestry industry operates has actually impacted most harshly on Māori communities. So, you know, I hear the call from some Māori, and of course James will absolutely continue to meet with Māori and give them a chance to input into the review. That's there now. But we also have to be aware of some of the enduring impacts, the generational impacts for us about the broader forestry industry as well.
He's not bullying Māori into planting natives, not pine though, is he?
That will be for Māori. And Māori, there are also Māori who are really clear they want to see the land, the whenua, recloaked with natives. You know, it will require support to transition. And, you know, James is very clear that absolutely there should be that support. So I just think we need to be mindful about whose voices we are saying represent Māori. There's not just one group. There are a range of understandings.
Tēnā koe. Thanks for sharing some kōrero with us. Sis, you're welcome at our house anytime. Āmihi. And so is James.
Thank you,
Dale. So is James, to be honest.
Of course and he would love to.
Okay, I look forward to having a chat. Thank you. Thanks, Marama. Marama Davidson with us. We call her Marama D.